And it's at the, we're not on yet, James. It's at the...
Now you're on.
Far door. I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission to order, and I would call on Commissioner Straffus to offer an opening prayer.
You guys would stand with me?
Heavenly Father, we just are thankful, Father, that we live in a great country that we do, Father, in a state and in a county, Father, that we can worship God freely. And Father, we just ask for you to be with us as we conduct this hearing, Father, that both sides are heard clearly with respect, Father. And we just thank you that your wisdom, you say in your Bible that if we ask for wisdom, you will freely give it. So, Father, we just ask for wisdom, and Father, we just ask you to be with our veterans, Father, and their families, and those serving active duty, Father, around the world, to protect them, keep them safe, keep their families comforted when they're apart, Father. And we're very thankful, Father, for all the good things you've done for us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
One more mention, if you haven't had an opportunity to sign in the back of the room, please do that. Again, it's a requirement of the state. We're here this evening for the purpose of conducting a public hearing in accordance with Missouri revised statutes. And this is a part of the process wherein members of the public who wish to speak for or against a proposal may do so. It's also the appropriate venue for the public to ask questions, to offer recommendations or suggestions, and any opinions that they may have. Missouri law requires that a representative of the Department of Economic be present for this meeting, and we do have a guest from DED with us, and she'll be introduced shortly. Now, I'm proud to say that Taney County, cities and chambers within the county and the private sector have been working together and collaborating together to work towards more economic development within Taney County itself. And I think, well, I know that as a unified team, we created the Taney County Business Development Partnership Board. And that board, in turn, has hired Jonas Argis, who has spearheaded the efforts to revitalize economic development here at home. And he has been great to work with in that we have given him a number of chores, and he has successfully brought to us the answers each time when we needed them and at a time that was convenient for us to move forward. Now, the format that we're proposing for this evening is that the commission will yield the floor to Jonas. We're going to ask Jonas if he will introduce our guest from DED, introduce our board that we've put together, and then provide a historical presentation of how we got here today in the establishment of an EEZ. And following Jonas's presentation, the commission will entertain comments, suggestions, and or questions. And as a commission, we've agreed that speakers may have the floor for up to 5 minutes each. The meeting will be conducted in accordance with Missouri law, and I'm going to ask that all participants be respectful of each other, whether you're for the proposal of an enhanced enterprise zone or whether you're against. Please allow and be courteous to each speaker that speaks. And unless one of you commissioners has something else to say, I will immediately turn this over to Jonas for his introductions and his remarks, and then we'll begin the process of the public hearing. Jonas?
Thank you, commissioners. First of all, I'd be remiss to not to mention that we lost a great asset to the community last night with the passing of Andy Williams. I would ask you to keep Debbie and the family in your prayers. It'll probably be many years before we realize the economic impact that that gentleman had on our community and the Branson tourism. So keep that in your thoughts, if you would, please. Commissioner Houseman has stated the purpose of this public hearing. The representative from the Missouri Department of Economic Development with us this evening is Ms. Carol Shoemaker, seated over here at the table. Carol is a 23-year veteran, 21-year veteran of the department. This is her actual last official engagement for her position, as she will be retiring in and leaving her position as of this coming Friday. So we're glad to have her. She's been of immense help to us in our effort from the beginning. Also with us tonight is our members of our Enhanced Enterprise Zone Board. We have Ms. Kim Krause with NEC, Becky Roberts with First Community Bank, Carlos Osborne with Kirbyville School District, superintendent, and then also Dr. Doug Hyder, superintendent of Branson Schools, who also serves as chairman of that board. Chet Dixon is also on that board, representing the county. And then absent is Brand Kopp, and there's one more I'm forgetting. Dale Sanders, thank you. So how we got here and what we've been doing. This has been a process in Taney County for going on 6+ years. As Commissioner Houseman mentioned, I was hired by the Taney County Business Development Partnership, and my first day on the job was January 23rd. I met with Jeff Seifert on January 20th, the Friday before, as he's the director of the Springfield Regional Economic Partnership, and he handed me the Enhanced Enterprise Zone application and said, "Jonas, this is going to be easy. It'll be your first win." Needless to say, him and I have trust issues now, so we'll see. It has been anything but easy, just for the record. The effort had been ongoing for a while. Carol has helped us with several maps. The map that you see displayed over here is map number 7, officially, but there were many renditions prior to that. Okay, I've been corrected. That's actually map 25, official number 7. So that's goes to show where we've been and how far we've come. I also want to thank the commission, the members of the Taney County Business Development Partnership, especially the municipalities, the villages who have worked with us diligently to get the ordinances passed, all the requirements met that needs to be done for this application process to move forward. We had a little bit of urgency just due to the simple fact that the map that you see before you is based off the 2000 census numbers. And the Missouri Department of Economic Development has yet to adopt the 2010 numbers, which they are to do within a short period of time. So to get the, you know, when we were coming before this body in mid-July to get the resolution passed that would allow us to move forward and to establish the Enhanced Enterprise Zone Board, we felt we were making pretty good headway. Well, that same week, we got revised application from the state, which led to the passing of the blight ordinances from each political subdivision. So We thought we were on step 7, but then they threw a new step 3 on us, so we had to put a lot of time and effort in getting that done. So, and again, Carol was of great help with that. The last ordinance prior to this process was passed last Thursday at the Village of Kirbyville, and I'm pleased to say that after meeting with Carol this afternoon, we are exactly where we need to be in the application process. One of the last two items is the passing of the ordinances that establishes our North American industry classification system codes that will be eligible in our Enhanced Enterprise Zone, and then the local tax abatement, which the Enhanced Enterprise Zone Board is proposing to be a maximum of 50% at the maximum amount of time at 10 years, which is the minimum requirement to qualify for the state program. So the state's minimum requirement is our maximum local abatement. The other high points of the program is that this is an economic tool and job creation tool, more so for small to medium-sized business than an actual attraction tool for companies coming in. The requirements to take advantage of the state tax credits and the local abatement are a creation of 2 new jobs above the average county wage with employer participation of health insurance at or above 50%, and then a minimum capital investment of $100,000. On the state side, where the $100,000 to take advantage of the local abatement would have to be new and improved property. On the state side, the half a percentage point in tax credit on capital and investment would include equipment, property, buildings, and then the other tax credit from the state side is 2% of the new payroll. 2% of the new payroll, half percent on the capital investment. So that's basically the benefits of the program from the state standpoint and from the local. Some of the comments we've heard in the community, we've tried to do our best to educate all the municipalities. I've made several presentations to civic organizations. One question that's been brought up is that, you know, by using the blight designation, this would, in a sense, open up Pandora's box to eminent domain and condemnation proceedings. That is simply not the case. As you well are aware, you have that right already from both the commissioner's standpoint and each municipality, and there's a set way to do that through state statute. To ensure or to help ease some of those questions, in all of the ordinances passed by the cities and the villages, and including the ordinance passed by the county commission, Section 3 reads that the county commissioners, city council, board of aldermen, in accordance with 135.953, subsection 1.1, Missouri Code, do hereby declare that the area defined in Exhibit A, which is the map, Exhibit A, as a blighted area as defined in 135.950, subsection 2. This declaration of blight, as defined in Chapter 135, cannot be used to meet the conditions for blight under any other state statute. Plain and simple, black and white. So, some other concerns are that, you know, the designation or the zone impacts property values, both from a market value and an assessed value. And out of the 122 zones established in the state, my research, I have not found one instance where that is the case, where that has even been implied. So, our county assessor is here in the audience, and he's also, by the way, required to be here per state statute, so appreciate James Strahan being here. He can answer any questions more to that, but, assessment is again, established by state statute. It has a certain procedure that has to be done, so, and that's, again, this all falls in line with that. That's pretty much a brief history of what we've done and how we've gotten here. Again, there's two more steps. One is the ordinances that spell out the NAICS codes, the North American Industry Classification System codes, the local abatement, and also found out today that we will need those ordinances, similar ordinances passed at all the cities and villages that are affected by the taxing. So, any questions from the council?
I don't.
And I would open the floor to questions and comments. Thank you.
Let me again ask, has everybody signed the sheet that's in the back of the room? And I apologize for being redundant. We're just asked to do that. What we'd like to do is to have you, one at a time, come to the podium, whoever it is that would like to speak. We have a sheet up there. Please sign in for us who you are so that we have that for our record as you speak. And
Legibly for the minutes.
Legibly. Welcome, Brand.
Brand, don't forget to sign in.
Yes, I will. Brand, I personally want to thank you for your personal service to my aunt and uncle today.
That's my question.
Who would like to come to the podium first? I'm not going to ask for the fours or the against. We'll just come as you wish, and we'll take the comments as they flow. You may make suggestions. You may make comments. You may speak against or you may speak for. But the purpose of this public hearing is so that this county commission can gather facts and information that you have for us. Who would like to go first? And I see, Cy, and before you start, let me make a personal note. I remember years ago when I was serving on the Industrial Development Authority Board, and Cy was the chairman, he brought this issue up before that board at that time, and that was three, four chairmen ago, if I'm not mistaken.
At least.
At least.
We're moving right along.
Yes, we are. Well, it took me a long time to get here. Sir.
Commission Gallery, Rick Ziegenfuss, City Administrator, City of Hollister, and I stand before you to represent the elected officials and the residents of the City of Hollister in support of the Enhanced Enterprise Zone and its potential for job creation for our community. Those of us that work on a daily basis in the field of economic development are aware of other communities and counties that have successfully pass this particular tool and use it to in their, not only, as Jonas pointed out earlier, business attraction, but also in the expansion of existing businesses and the creation of new jobs in our county. And I think this is one of the real tools that really have the potential to help us in that area. And the people that I come in contact with on a regular basis feel that it also has that. So we're very encouraged about this, and we're very appreciative of the commission's willingness to allow this to go forward and be heard. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. Ross Summers with the Branson Chamber of Commerce. We're really at a historic time in the history of our county. When we set up the Taney County Business Development Partnership a few months ago, we did it with the intent of creating year-round full-time jobs. We know that in Taney County, particularly on the western half, every year we struggle with unemployment in those in the early part of the year. What we are attempting to do through our partnership and through the help of the EEZ is to establish those year-round jobs and diversify the economy so that all of the population will benefit. New industry is the lifeblood of every community. And while we recognize that tourism is and will always be a mainstay of our economy, this new initiative is going to move us forward in many new directions. So we support the effort that Jonas is putting forth, and we encourage the adoption of this initiative.
Thank you. My old chairman.
I was trying to stay incognito, but since you brought me up, I guess I'll come on up here. Cy Murray, I'm representing the Taney County IDA today. And one of the things that, by being on the IDA as long as we have, is the children. And everybody talks about the jobs and everything that this is going to be. One of the things that I think should be pointed out is that at least, and the superintendents can help me here, at least every other child in Taney County is on free and reduced lunches. And in some cases, it's as high as 70% in some of the schools that we have. And I think with this initiative that we're trying to approve with your help and get going, some of those kids, their parents, as well as whenever they graduate high school or go on and would like to come back to Taney County, this initiative will allow them to come back and have some good jobs in Taney County, The parents that are here now will have opportunities to go maybe from what they're doing today to advance themselves and, you know, help increase their income and hopefully make their kids more productive as they go through school. So I'm very much in favor of it. Thank you very much.
My name is Cody Schmidt, and I am just a regular citizen from Walnut Shade. I have a couple concerns with this measure, and I would like to cite some statistical research. Judith Stallman, professor of applied economics at the Truman School of Public Affairs, claims that research shows that EEZ zones often fail to work out as planned. Citing studies of EEZ zones in 13 states, including 5 zones in Missouri, Stallman found that some high percentage of firms probably would have located there anyways. So you're paying for them to do something they would have already done anyways. Or the firms may locate in the zone when they would have located somewhere else in the city or somewhere else quite nearby. So once again, there is very little net gain. Of the few EEZ success stories, most are in states that have kept their zones limited, making the zones more unique. Keep in mind that Missouri has, what would you say, 122 EEZ zones at present time? The nonpartisan, nonprofit Missouri-based think tank, the Show Me State Institute, recently compiled a study of Missouri counties that implemented large enterprise zones, the predecessor for EEZ. Their study compared 8 Missouri counties that implemented large EEZs from the mid-1980s to the early 1990s to 12 bordering counties that implemented absolutely no EEZs. They compared a number of different statistics from 1980 to 2005 in the counties with EEZs and those without. The findings were as follows. The total employment in the counties with EEZs grew 40%, and the total employment in the non-EEZ counties grew 51%. The total labor force in the counties with EEZs grew 53%, while the total labor force in the non-EEZ counties grew 63%. Total personal income in the counties with EEZs grew 351%, while total personal income in the non-EEZ counties grew 384%. Per capita personal income in the counties with EEZs grew 249%, while per capita personal income in the non-EEZ counties grew 264%. Total assessed valuation in the counties with EEZs grew 130%, while total assessed valuation in the non-EEZ counties grew 187%. According to this research, the counties without EEZ actually fared better than those with the EEZ zone. It is rather unlikely that the EEZ zones will work out where the EEZ zones have failed. EEZ would redirect investments and taxpayer resources away from certain groups and in the case of tax abatement, away from schools and other public services, and funnel them to businesses. This puts the EEZ board in a powerful position to pick winners and losers in the marketplace. This goes against everything the free market stands for. We should allow the demands of the free market and the necessities of the Taney County citizens to determine which businesses locate here. We should not be using incentives that create unlevel playing fields for businesses that do not meet the requirements of the board. In some ways, EEZ is essentially corporate welfare. We should focus our efforts to determine why jobs are being lost in the first place and try to fix these problems rather than establish tax credit programs to bring companies in. The economic situation and unemployment rate in Taney County certainly needs to be addressed. However, I do not believe central planning is the answer. In the words of famed Swedish economist Assar Lindbeck, it is not by planting trees or subsidizing tree planting in a desert created by politicians that the government can promote industry, but by refraining from measures that create a desert environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
Hi, I'm Steve Maxwell from Cassie Mills. I'm a candidate for commissioner. One thing I've noticed, Cody brought some specific statistics, and I will acknowledge that that's from a limited study. But what I've noticed in the proponents of this is there are no specifics. It's words like potential, diversity, good jobs, but there are no specifics. because there are no guarantees that this is going to work. And so I'm coming from a standpoint in my opposition to this as an advocate of an American system of liberty. And I find it ironic that, as far as I know, all of our elected officials in this county are supposed to be conservative Republicans. And this is the kind of initiative that Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson would be very comfortable with. This is a New Deal type of initiative. And so I want to remind everyone of the maxim from Lord Acton that you probably all have heard: power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, which ties into the point that Cody made about the board. I know some of the people on that board. I think they're fine people. I don't think they would ever intentionally do any harm to anybody. But good intentions are always at the beginning of some grandiose utopian scheme that the government promotes. The problem is that later on down the road, you don't know who's going to be on that board. You don't know what kind of pressures are going to be brought to bear on them. We don't know what kind of deals are going to be being made in future years behind closed doors. And we are certainly giving a lot of power to an unelected group of citizens, and we're just trusting them to guard our liberties. That is not the vision that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and the founders of this country laid out. That is a statist vision that assumes that our rights and our liberties come from the government, when our country was founded on the notion that our liberties are granted to us from God. So thank you for the hearing. Thank you for allowing me to speak my piece. I perceive that this is basically a done deal. I just think that we need to have something on the record. Some of us may be coming in the future years and telling you that we told you so. So thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Good evening. Thanks for your time. Jonas stated it correctly. This has been, and since I brought it up the first time, quite the journey. As you know, this has not been easy. As we've moved forward on this issue, we've had 25 runs of that particular map. That's map number 7 that we finally got back to. I would just keep this in mind, and when people say in 2012 and beyond, in a whole different economy where we are struggling every day to attract jobs, to incentivize small businesses to stay here, to stay in business, what do we have to offer as a community? How can we partner with those businesses? And this is that tool. The Enhanced Enterprise Zone effectively enables you to become a partner, the community to become a partner when it comes to business development. And no longer will Taney County have to say, we have nothing on the table for you. Taney County can say, we're here to help, and this is the tool we're going to use to help you. So with that, I would commend everyone on this effort. I know it's been a long journey, and certainly appreciate everyone and their efforts. So thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good evening. My name is Steve Critchfield, Commercial One Brokers. My partner and I do commercial real estate in this community, and we deal with business people every day. And I have to say, I haven't looked at all the professional numbers that were done in the research, but a business doesn't pick the place they're going to locate or stay strictly for this reason, because we have an EEZ zone. And I doubt that any of them picked a location in the studies that have been outlined earlier. But they picked for reasons of utilities, workforce, taxes, certainly, availability of work. Lots of reasons go into the decision. One thing that we do find, if we are competing every day to, A, keep people here and or recruit businesses here. If you don't have a toolbox with tools in it, you don't even get to the plate, and the EEZ is a tool. It's the thing that gets somebody to at least talk to you, that you can explain because your utilities may be a little bit high, or you can explain or overcome the fact that you may have to figure out a way to train a workforce in order to fill somebody's business. But if you don't have it, they don't talk to you. You're not even put on the list. You don't have a chance to explain anything. And I just hope that you all pass this. We're big supporters. I don't know that we would use it 5 times in our business. But if we did, I'd say if we used it once, it'd be worth it. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Next.
Sean Pingleton. I sit on the board, and also I'm a citizen of Taney County, and I just really want to reiterate what Steve just said. It is another tool in our toolbox to attract businesses that we're looking to get or retain that we've got. And, you know, as Jonas said, it's not been easy, but the right thing a lot of times isn't easy. So I just encourage the commission to vote for this and to pass that. And it's a real issue that we've got here, obviously, is creating jobs and everything that comes out of that, and this will just help us with the real issue in front of us. So I just encourage you to do that, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sean.
Good evening. Doug Hyder, Superintendent Branson Schools, also on the EEZ board, and a resident of Taney County, Walnut Shade. I know you're probably familiar with the old adage about the farmer who was going to prepare breakfast, and he went to both the chicken and the pig. And, you know, the chicken's going to be involved, but the pig's going to be committed. Any governmental entity that gets their revenue from property tax would certainly like to have every dime, because we can then take every dime and help our kids to their maximum potential. But we also realize that in any community, in any county, the teamwork has to take place. And the only way that we're going to get where we need to be as a county and cities and a commission is to work together. We need to have diversification in our county with the workforce. You heard that from others who are more knowledgeable about that than I am. But again, as a school district, you know, we sit right now, and this is not meant to be a positive or negative statement, simply a factual one. $2 million in actual tax dollars that we currently do not receive because of tax increment financing. Again, not meant to be a negative or positive statement, simply a factual statement. An EEZ zone where we have committed that we're going to do something with balance, 50% for 10 years, where governmental entities and taxing entities can then be a partner and still provide some of the services that they need to provide. So like many of the others tonight, I simply want to say that we as a school district, myself personally, as a member of the board and also a resident of Taney County, support the issue. I think it's very, very important for the long-term success. And as Jonas mentioned earlier, two milestones that I've been involved with as a trustee of Skaggs Hospital. I think that was a monumental decision that just occurred. And also his statement, I agree with wholeheartedly, what impact does an entertainer like Andy Williams have on the economy in the Branson area? We need to be forward-thinking, find all the tools we can, and certainly would support the initiative and appreciate your time in sharing that with you.
Commissioners, my name is Mark Weiss with Weiss Commercial Realty. and I'm also a member of the Taney County IDA. I agree with all the positive statements that have been said here today. Just wanted to add one thing. 3 weeks ago, Jonas and I went to the Governor's Conference on Economic Development. One of the highlights for me during that meeting was at the luncheon where there was a speaker from the Kauffman Foundation in Kansas City who pointed out that Missouri's done some things and added some tools to the toolbox over the last 6 years that has taken our state from number 39 in attracting entrepreneurship and small business to number 6. That didn't happen in a vacuum. That happened because Carol and the people she worked with worked hard to bring businesses to town and put tools on the table that helped bring Missouri forward. We need to be able to utilize those tools when it's appropriate, and I trust our board to utilize them at the right time. I'm in support of the proposal.
Sherry Anderson, Bull Creek Village. I have a couple things I'd like to state. I know that there's a big chance that a lot of these places would just come here anyway, but let's face it. We've got a lot of things to offer, and there's an awful lot of companies out there that don't know it. With the help of the EEC zone, we'll have more opportunity to get that word out. And yeah, we can do nothing, but, you know, it's just like an EEZ zone. It depends on how much work you put into it. We seem to have a good team working on that, and I think we can draw more interest. I'm pleased because the smaller communities haven't been forgotten, and we really do need the help. We have a lot of people that can use extra jobs, and I'm excited about it. My board's excited about it. And speaking of it not being easy, Jonas had to come a couple times and talk to them and explain it to them. We spent a lot of hours talking about it. I think it's exciting, and I hope that you'll pass it tonight.
Good evening. I'm Angela Lease, representing the Village of Merriam Woods, and I'm here today to say how encouraged I am to see attendance at a public hearing, positive comments, negative comments, but everybody talking about a topic that needs to be covered. We need improvement in our schools. We need improvement in our cities. And if we can attract jobs that pay a living wage with some benefits, I think that we're all going to benefit from that opportunity. And there's no guarantee that we will ever have a business use the EEZ if it is established. But it is out there, as Sherry said, so that we can reach other businesses who might not even consider Taney County an option. We have a pretty good quality of life here, and I think that is important to offer to others as well as keep it to ourselves. Thank you.
I'm Brand Comp. I'm on the BEZ board. I'm also a 20-year resident of Taney County. I've been working on this on and off with everybody just ever since the workforce housing days, which really kind of, if anybody remembers those. I always like to give the why for things. I need to know the why for things, and when explaining to other people why things are, you have to give the why. Well, my why is, you know, I've got a freshman in high school. I've got a little girl that's just starting kindergarten. Okay, so I've kind of got the spectrum, and they're going through. I work with young men all the time, you know, through scouting and other, you know, activities that I do, and young people in general, and I see them getting a very good education here on the primary and secondary levels, and we've got good access to good college and vocational levels, and they get a good education, and then they go someplace else. They don't come back and contribute back to this community that had just given them all these opportunities. And I think that's a shame. And it's not their fault. It's because it's our fault for not giving them the opportunity to come back and do that. The EEZ board is going to be one of those tools that we're going to be able to offer them that opportunity. And as far as the and if anybody who knows who I am, I'm very much against government intervention on anything. This is not a government a reach out from government to get in the way of anything. It is actually the government kind of moving out of the way and going, hey, come on, let's go. So that is the why for me. And it's the why for a lot of other people, too, because I've been, like I said, I've been working on this, and those are the questions that I ask. I said, well, okay, we've got, you know, what are the things that we need to be attracting these sorts of businesses that are, you know, non-tourism, year-round, good-paying jobs? And it's, you know, the same things. It's transportation, and it's energy, and it's workforce, and it's, okay, well, you know what, we've been working on those things for as a county for the last 20 years. You know, we've got natural gas available now in a very commercial setting. We've got good roads back and forth, four-lane roads everywhere. We've got light rail going on. So what don't we have? What is precluding us from taking that next step? Well, it's something like this. It's being visible enough to be on the radar of those companies that would do that sort of investment in our community to bring those sorts of businesses here that would provide that type of employment. So I think this is like I said, it's not the end-all be-all. It's just another tool. We'll still have a lot of work to do. And, you know, with Jonas's office over there, he's going to be working twice as hard after this, if we get this passed, afterwards, to be attracting those sorts of businesses here. So, but, you know, it's just a one tool in the toolbox that it'll help out a lot. So, thank you.
Other comments? Carol, what else are we supposed to ask for at this meeting? I don't want to overlook what we should be doing, if in fact we're supposed to be doing something else.
I think you've pretty well covered it all. Any comments? It basically looking at the types of NAICS that they may or may not want, that might be some feedback there that you might ask for?
I didn't hear you. Would you re-ask that?
Oh, sorry.
To ask for the types of NAICS that you want in particular in the area, or the types of NAICS that you don't want to add to the community? Okay. Anything in specific?
Jonas, you may want to explain what that is.
Yeah, when Carol refers to NAICS, that's the North American Industry Classification System codes that we're referring. All industries in North America are classed by a certain number. The proposed eligible industries that the zone would like to entertain or attract are the following. Code number 11, agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting. Code number 21, mining, quarrying, and oil and gas extraction. Code 22, utilities. Code 23, construction. Code 31 through 33, manufacturing. Code 42, wholesale trade. Code 48 through 49, transportation and warehousing. Code 51, information. Code 52, finance and insurance. Code 53, real estate and rental and leasing. 54, professional, scientific, and technical services. 55, management of companies and enterprises. 56, administrative and support and waste management and remediation services. 62, healthcare and social assistance. 71, Arts, Entertainment, and Recreation. Excluded are subcode 7132, Gambling. Code number 72, Accommodation and Food Service. Excluded is subcode 722, Food and Drinking Places. Code number 81, Other Services Except Public Administration. Excluded, subcode 8131, Religious Organizations. Now, all those are the primary codes. The subcodes are all listed at www.naics.com/search.htm. And what we did as organizers of the effort, we suggested these codes to the Enhanced Enterprise Zone Board, which we chose to suggest to them to take on all the eligible codes. That way you're not limiting to yourself in the process. The reason we did that was because here recently another community within the Springfield MSA has an established zone. They were limited on their codes, and now they have a company that's interested in wanting to utilize the zone, but they're not included in the NAICS codes. So by allowing all the eligible codes on our zone, this opens the door to all eligible codes from a state standpoint. One thing I did fail to mention in my opening remarks was the fact that at the request of the County Commission during those July meetings, we went out and secured letters of support from all 9 school districts and the taxing entities represented in the county. And we got 100% participation outside of Pro Tem Fire. I want to make sure we're clear on that. But the gentleman, the spokesperson for Pro Tem Fire, does serve on the Taney County Ambulance District's board, and his signature was on letter, so I assume that he was informed. And so,
any other comments from any citizen that's here this evening? Yes, sir. And before you go out the back door tonight, I need your signature on that piece of paper way back there. They're all going to laugh at me because I brought that up.
I was a little late. Sorry, I had to work. My name is Scott Rogers. I own partial owner of DSNF Plumbing. Many of you know that. The reason why I've gotten involved in the EEZ, I love the purpose of the EEZ, to create jobs and things like that. I used to joke with my schoolmates that Branson was the black hole in the universe. You could leave Branson, you always came back, but I found out all the people that came back, they got jobs working at restaurants as waiters. So, low-paying jobs, nothing real fancy. My problem is, and I'm sure it's been mentioned before, is the blighted designation. Once land is blighted, it's open for eminent domain abuse. We saw some of that when the Branson Landing Project was done. Some of those business owners were basically given an ultimatum to take the deal, or we can go into a court battle, and we're going to take your land anyway. And that's my problem. A lot of major corporations like Walmart, Costco, Target, they come in and they go, say, right down the street here, and they go, okay, you got a section of property here in Forsyth that's perfect to put in a Walmart. But we got a problem. We've got a couple of houses and a store and some things like that. What can you do for us so that we can put in a Walmart? And so they come up with some fancy numbers and say we're going to create jobs and all this stuff. And in the end, they maybe create a few low-paying jobs, but the pharmacy goes out of business, and Country Mart goes out of business, and Forsyth Hardware goes out of business. And so you've replaced some jobs where people are maybe making anywhere from $12 to $15 an hour with jobs with people who are making $8 an hour. And the thing with requiring to give benefits, that only covers people who are full-time employees. Walmart gets around not covering most of their employees by only giving them 39 and a half hours. So that's what I have to say. Like I said, I've talked to Jim about this. I would really love to see some benefits to companies that hire employees and give them benefits and tax incentives and tax breaks would be awesome for a company that comes in and does this. But the eminent domain, the potential for eminent domain abuse is just too great. And it creates a major problem with property rights. He mentioned natural gas or oil and gas extraction. What if my house is sitting on top of a big oil field and the gas company comes in and says, we'll give you $10 an acre for it, or we can fight this for the next 30 years. It's up to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Any other comments? Jonas, any closing remarks?
I believe, you know, the one comment that was made about the board itself, the board itself abusing power. The board's role is an advisory role to this body. The final decision lies with the county commission, or the presiding commissioner, as a matter of fact. So, again, the authority does not lie in the EZ board. Scott made the comment on Walmart. Retail is not included in the NAICS codes, and so the average county wage in Taney County right now is $25,567, according to the state of Missouri. And the new jobs that will be required will be above that average and paying the 50% of the health insurance, not just benefits, health insurance. And so just a couple of remarks on that. Other than that, unless somebody has some specific questions, I can.
And what was your comment earlier about blighted areas being a specific definition within this particular statute itself that's not to be utilized elsewhere?
Well, blight is dealt with quite rigorously in state statute. And the ordinances in these cases that have been passed by the political subdivisions, the villages and the count and the cities, each ordinance, and I read this at the beginning, but at the end of it states, this declaration of blight as defined in Chapter 135 cannot be used to meet the conditions for blight under any other state statute. Now, blight in this situation has several criteria. One is obsolete platting. You know, one instance that we have currently that we're dealing with is Anderson Paint in Hollister. Anderson Paint is a very attractive located commercial building. It sits on 7 different plats. That's obsolete platting. And blight and eminent domain deals with a specific property for the use for the betterment of the people. And, you know, if this was some, you know, ruse or conspiracy to make eminent domain and condemnation easier, it's a pretty convoluted way to do it, because that power already exists with all the political subdivisions in the county, and they can get it done a lot easier than having to go through an EZ. So, other than that, that's the point I'd like to make on blight.
Jim or Danny, do you have any comments?
I don't.
I would suggest then that we shortly adjourn this meeting and that we agendize this item in the very near future so that we can discuss and vote upon the EEZ and moving forward with whatever steps are necessary. And we'll lean towards you to make sure if, in fact, we vote in a positive manner to follow those suggestions that you give us. And we thank you very much for being here. And I want to thank all the participants that are here tonight on both sides of this issue. Some might not believe that the commission listens to all sides of an issue, but not only do we have to, because we represent all of you. Again, thank you, and I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, everyone.